Hey, hockey heads, get ready for the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Each game day, answer four questions. Pick the winning team, guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards, while each round's champs pocket cold, hard cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. Let's go.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Nation Network presents Coming in Hot. Here are your hosts, Brent Wallace, Jason York, and Bobby Ryan.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coming in Hot Live. I'm Brent Wallace. That's Bobby Ryan, who's much more festive than Jason York.
What are you talking about? I'm the only one with a gingerbread house.
I told you I was getting there. I was coming festive today, boys.
What's that shirt say?
We appreciate.
It says, ask your mom if I'm real.
You are a bad Santa.
I wanted a Sens colored shirt. I was all in on this one.
You bought all in. So at least he got the memo, Yorkie. You could have at least gone out to Giant Tiger and gotten something.
All right, look at this bad boy. This is handcrafted last night. I took a wow. Big time shot here for the team. Gingerbread houses. Look at this. We had my wife's parents over, the kids. Very festive. Although,
is there a mortgage on that?
You know what, though? My gingerbread house came in last place, so I attempted to do a Santa Claus on the side of mine. It looks like mutant Santa. He's got like red eyes.
I appreciate the effort.
That's tough.
All right, we gotta move on. I appreciate Bobby being in the holiday spirit. Yorkie, not so much. It is a busy Sens day. It looks like Tim Stützle is going to be back in the lineup tonight. Artem Zub has a new contract. Lots going on to talk about. Frank Cervelli is going to join us shortly to chat with all that stuff, plus to see if there's more on Alex DeBrincat, perhaps, or on the sale of the hockey team. Before we get to that, the Washington Capitals in town tonight, gentlemen. That means Alex Ovechkin and his quest to catch Gretzky, catch Gordie Howe, is underway. Will he, do you think, gentlemen, reach 801 at the Canadian Tire Center tonight? Bobby?
I'm going with no. And not because of anything the Sens do. I'm what is the date today? It's the 22nd. It's the last game before Christmas. He just wants to get home. And they're in Canada on a Thursday. He's got zero interest in this one. So I'm going to say no, not tonight.
I said he was going to get two in Detroit. Boy, was I wrong on that. Hey, the only thing we were right on, Bobby, is bet against the Ducks. We gave the pick last game. It was Duckies against LA. Easy money. So is Ovech going to get it? I don't know. The Sens should play well. They should play well tonight, though, because they had such a stinker last game. So you think they'll come to play. You think they'll make it hard for Ovechkin. So I'll say no. I'll say nay as well. No goals for Ovechkin.
Really? So, one, I will correct you, Bobby, that as of right now, the Caps are scheduled to play against Winnipeg in Washington tomorrow night, if that plays any factor whatsoever. Washington's won 7 of its last 9 games, but Alex Ovechkin loves to play against Ottawa. He has the second most career goals against the Sens of anybody, and that includes one Jaromir Jagr, who is out in front. Jaromir Jagr's got, 66 goals in 79 games? 44 goals in 79 games. But Alex Ovechkin, 35 goals. He's had 2 hat tricks in Ottawa in his career, one of them a 4-goal game. I say he gets it tonight. I say he gets at 1, perhaps 2.
Yeah. It's hard to ever bet against him, but I'm not feeling it tonight. Now, and he's got a back-to-back tomorrow. If that does play out. So, and I think there's just going to be a little bit of a response. There has to be a response to the Sens, or it's a tragedy, and we're talking about it on the 27th or 28th again. So the boys need a response, and shutting him down, object A.
Christmas games are so tough to judge because they're so unpredictable. Yeah. I got a hard time picking winners this time of year. That's why I think Ovi's got lots of time to do it. But then again, the history, those stats that you sent us earlier today, Wally, on Ovechkin, that's pretty crazy. Like, he has owned the Ottawa Senators. Like, so history says, but you don't bet against Christmas. Christmas is pretty powerful.
That's going to probably be that's a meme somewhere. 17 goals in 26 career games in Ottawa. I don't know. Washington seems to play well against Ottawa. Now, that being said, you brought it up earlier about the Winnipeg game and the response from Winnipeg. But is Winnipeg just one of those games, Bobby, where you just go in, you have a bad night, and you move on?
Yeah, I mean, that's a flush game, right? That you know that the coach, DJ, is going to come out and say, we're just simply not good enough, and everything he said was true. But he also went into that room and said, boys, we know that that's not the brand of hockey that we need to play. That is not our system. That is not – nothing about that game spoke true to how the Sens have played lately. So they dropped a dud. Duds are going to happen. And I'm sure he went into the room saying, we move on. We got one more. Well, we had 2 more, but we definitely have 1 more at this point again before Christmas. Let's get 2 points, and we'll have a good holiday, and we'll come back. And that's probably all he said to the team. But I said the other day that they needed to get – further into the first period without giving a 10 bell shot up, and poor Talbot took one right in I don't know how first long shift. In it was the first shift, right? I wasn't wrong. Yeah. And I'm just thinking that, I mean, that's a tough look. And he made the save, and then he kind of got hung out to dry on some of the other ones that he couldn't see a few, some miscommunications and secondary chance goals. So yeah, it's just a flush game. You move on and you get ready for tonight.
Well, yeah, I was going to put together some Yorkie vids and go over some of those goals and some of the mistakes, but there was just too many in that game. There were so many basic things that were done wrong. Like that little guy that's kind of not really the winger's guy and not really the defenseman's guy, that was the first chance of the game. They were hanging out in that little soft spot, Bobby. You know that spot you used to hang out in. They haven't figured out how to cover that guy, at least in that game. So I'm concerned, Wally, with this team because they haven't been good 5-on-5 for a while. They're living off the power play right now. They're living off the power play and good goaltending. They didn't get great goaltending last game, although it's tough to blame Talbot for that one. But they got to get better 5-on-5. So if I'm DJ and the staff, I'm concerned with their 5-on-5 play right now.
Here's a question I have, though, for you guys as players. In that game, I'm not mistaken – Ottawa was up like shots, like 16-6 early on. They had a ton of shots, but I think they were down whatever it was. Does that really matter? Do you get disheartened when you start to see that it looks like you've carried the play, but you're actually in fact trailing? Bobby?
I don't think so. Cause none of their shots were threatening early on. They had a lot from the outside. And what that does, and that's fine. You can throw pucks at the net from anywhere. Corsi people love it, but at the same time, it does lead to breakdowns and secondary chances, but it just didn't the other night. There was no, it didn't feel like, you know who I thought had a great game was Parker Kelly, but outside of that, there was no real jump to be first on puck all night. There was no real jump to, to get the ugly goal, I guess I would say. So all those chances, you're almost given Rittich, I've always thought Rittich is a pretty good goalie. I shot on him last year here in Nashville during the All-Star break, and I thought he's a much better goalie than the statistics are telling. But at the same time, you allowed him to get into the game because you're just giving them a feel for the puck. And sometimes that, you know, that comes back to bite you. And it kind of did in that game a little bit.
Maybe you should have called the Sens and given them the scouting.
Dave, when he was playing in Calgary, he had a good streak in Calgary for a while. I did a lot of Flames games for Sportsnet a couple of years ago. And every time I saw Riddick, I'm like, man, this guy's an under the radar, pretty good goaltender. And I've always liked him. Seems like a great guy too. Seems like the guys in the room like him. So those are always dangerous. Yeah. You're Hellebuck's out. You think, oh, we got the backup tonight, but not so fast. Like, he's a pretty good goaltender. And I agree with you there, Bobby. He was real good, but the Senators, they didn't have a lot of good shots early on. I really thought Winnipeg carried the play. They had all the great A's early.
It
is what it is.
All right. As always, this show brought to you by our good friends at Renfrew Pro Tape. Don't forget, it's still time to grab a couple stocking stuffers before the biggest snowstorm of your lives, apparently. Go to RenfrewPro.com if you want to shop online, or also all the major retailers. Renfrew Pro is the one with the green core. They are the industry standard when it comes to hockey tape, including they invented shin pad tape, which I always like to bring up. I've watched them make it at their factory. It's fantastic. Renfrew Pro, our good friends. By the way, they all want to wish everybody safe and happy holidays. Now, without further ado, he's been waiting patiently. The nicest man in broadcast television history, Frank Cervelli, joins us from Philadelphia, where I don't know. Are you going to get the snow there too, Frank?
Not the snow, guys. And I wasn't sure who you were introing with the nicest man in broadcast TV, because that ain't me. But definitely going to be a little cold by Philly standards for Christmas.
Listen, I wrote down nicest man because I needed an intro for the guy from Daily Faceoff, and you've always been good to me.
Well, there you go. It's good to be teammates again.
Frank, by the way, I don't appreciate you not getting dressed up for sweater day, but we'll move on. And what can you tell us about the Artem Zub deal, which we have waited to discuss for you to get on here? He signs a 4-year $4.6 million per year extension with the Ottawa Senators. Are you shocked? It seems to be a very good deal for the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, I think it basically comes out to market value. There's not a lot of shock in here, in the sense that when you look at, you know, Zub and his minutes played and really what he's been able to accomplish in the league to this point, you know, he's that, you know, market rate at $4.6 million a year for a top four defenseman. That's sort of right in that range. And so the Sens, what they get is some cost certainty. And I think that's sort of been the hallmark of the way Pierre Dorion has handled his business here over the last number of years, is take the guys that are important to your core and your team success and try and get them locked up if you can. And so they do that with Zub. And I just think the one thing that sort of stands out in watching Zub, and I'd be curious to hear your guys' take, is, you know, he doesn't do one thing exceptionally well. I think he's a really well-rounded defenseman, but there's nothing in his game that I think is going to wow you and sort of put you over the top. And I think that sort of reflects that in the contract, no? Like, there's nothing really shocking or surprising here. It's just, this is what it is.
Frank, I think he hit the nail right on the head with Zub. And that's, to me, why he's so valuable for Ottawa, because they just don't have enough guys that you don't notice. And by that, I mean, you don't notice for the right reasons, because he's not making glaring mistakes. He's not turning pucks over. He's not blowing coverage. He's just, to me, is he a real number two? Probably not, but he's a really good, probably 3-4. And for Ottawa, they just won't have enough of those guys. And you saw it when he was out of the lineup. We all saw it here. We watch all the Sens games. It just became so glaring the more he was out of the lineup, Frank. But I think your assessment of him is bang on. He just does everything really good. And to me, there's not enough defensemen in the league that are like that. And that's why he's so valuable.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Artem Zub has a good game if you don't notice him most of the time. That's and he eats up 20 minutes. He's a safety valve for whoever he's playing with, whether it's Chabby or Sanderson. Those offensive guys can take some more chances because he's back there, kind of a Mathot-like presence for Carlson for all those years, just to calm things down. I really like the way he breaks pucks out of the zone, makes a good first pass. I think it's a phenomenal contract. You know, Pierre signed a number of really good contracts in the last couple of years for some of the core guys, like Frank said, and he fits that mold. It's almost the only thing it does is make the Dylan DeMello trade look even worse.
we had to talk about it. Had to get that in there. Yorkie, then let me ask you, Yorkie, is he like Chris Phillips?
I would say he's similar to Philly. Like, obviously, Philly's a much bigger body, and he's a guy that you can't really hurt when you're coming on the forecheck. Big rig, big guy. Although, one of the similarities I find, and Zub kind of has a knack. Saw it a couple times where he scores a big goal here and there, and Philly had that knack as well, where all of a sudden it's – because Philly was a really good offensive defenseman in junior. Then he obviously changed his style when he got to the NHL. I have no idea how Zub used to play in the KHL. All I know is now he's a really dependable defensive defenseman. I'd say he's an upgrade on Dylan DeMello. He's a Dylan DeMello type player, but he gives you more. Bobby's point there with breakouts, he breaks the puck out at probably as clean as, not the top guys in the league, but as clean as any of the upper echelon defensemen in the NHL. It's just, it's on the tape. There's no dusting, and it's just very direct the way he plays the game. And he's very elusive, too. He's good at shaking that first forechecker. He's just a good defenseman, and he's a right shot. We all know right shot defensemen, right, Frank? They're really, really tough to get good ones in NHL. That's why come trade deadline, everyone's looking for them. So great move by Pierre getting them locked up.
I think one of the biggest assets, if I could just jump in to finish off the Zub part, is that he's not rattled easily. And I think that's a big thing, especially when you have a bunch of young players and you're trying to transition more on your back end. When he's getting pressured on the forecheck, he's not easily coughing it up and throwing it away. And I think that confidence that he has maybe sometimes can rub off on others. And, you know, right now they're probably asking him to do a little bit too much in terms of the minutes he's playing. You asked about, is he a two? Could he potentially be? On this team right now, he's probably being asked to play like a two. But when this team finally gets to where they want to get going, he's probably closer to that 3-4. And then you look at it in the salary cap with it continuing to increase, he's going to fit right in at 4-6.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yep. Fair enough. Very dependable player. What about Alex DeBrincat, Frank? Have you heard anything? There was talk early on. They were talking about an extension. Is that quieted down? Should we expect anything?
You know, I haven't actually checked in on that file in a bit, to be completely honest, but it would make sense to me if things quieted down, because I think a lot of people were curious to see how he would respond this season. New surroundings, new teammates, what would the chemistry be like? And frankly, what would the production be like? Because he's such a talented goal scorer, touching 40 goals twice already in his career, that people were thinking, what's he going to be like when he's away from Patrick Kane, such a gifted player in terms of getting him the puck to score? What we've seen this year has been obviously a huge drop in shooting percentage. He's on pace for 23 goals. And I think what's interesting is the point production has still been there. He's been an assist machine, which is sort of not necessarily like him. But when you look at his career track record and history, there's actually, you know, some indication that this might have been coming, in the sense that go back to 2019-20. After scoring 41 goals, the next season he only had 18. And so I think there's this sort of feeling out process when you look at the huge qualifying offer that's due. And also the other part of it, which isn't talked about as much, is the leverage that DeBrincat has with that qualifying offer. If he really wants to and doesn't like his experience in Ottawa, doesn't think this team's moving in the direction that he wants to be heading fast enough, he has the leverage to flex those muscles and say, I'd like to play somewhere else. Either give me my qualifying offer or I'm walking as a UFA. I doubt it gets to that point. My guess is they come in at some point on a contract offer that's below the QO and probably is a number that starts with an 8. But it's also going to depend on how he finishes the season and how the rest of this goes, both for team and player.
Is 8 fair for him if he's a 25-goal scorer and a 75-point guy?
It's the most simple thing that anyone's ever explained to me, and I really have become a big believer in it. that if you take whatever your point total is and then convert that into millions of dollars, if you're at 75 points, $7.5 million, you know, that factor, 80 points, $8 million, is sort of right in that range. And I guess a lot of people in today's NHL would have significant question marks about signing a scoring winger to that type of number. And I think you see the reaction that, you know, the Brock Besser contract at 665 is getting in Vancouver. Well, DeBrincat's numbers have always been significantly better than someone like Besser. And so I would say 8 is probably a pretty fair starting point and number to end at, because the production hasn't been as consistent. But anytime you get someone that's 25 years old and has hit 40 goals twice, like, I don't care who you are, where you're playing, you're going to get paid on that type of number.
Hey, Frank, got one for Frank here, Wally. Just with DeBrincat here, and you look at the structure, not to put you on the spot here, if you look at the Senators' salary cap structure, how many guys can you afford to give 8 to when you got Tkachuk's at 8, Stützle's at 8, Shabbat's at 8, Norris is pretty well at 8, and now you're going to give DeBrincat 8. Do you think, do you get to a point there where can you fit that in with the way teams are built? I'm just trying to think at other teams around the league. Do they have that many guys that begin with the number 8?
It's a really good question, and it was actually something that I was thinking about and looking at as I was, you know, prepping to join you guys today. And I was saying the only close comparable that I think you can look at is sort of the Toronto Maple Leafs and the structure that they have with a bunch of guys in and around the number 10 and 11. And that's obviously a bit of a different story. They're different echelon of players. What I really like about what the Sens have done is between Norris and Stützle, like, those are two bona fide elite star players in this league that I think they've gotten locked up to really impressive numbers, not just for what they're playing at now, but for where they're going to be for the long haul of their contract. And so I think there's a value proposition there. I think when you look at the overall cap structure and where it's heading, like, I think in 3 years' time, we're probably looking at a $95 to $98 million salary cap, if you can project that far down the road, maybe 4 years from now. So those contracts are obviously going to look a lot different by then. And so will the cap picture. Can you afford to do it? I think there's proof from other teams that you can. But I think you do get into a bit of a dangerous territory in terms of building out your roster, in that basically what you end up doing is eliminating the middle class of player on your team. You go from, you know, the guys at 8, you've got Claude Giroux at 6, Batherson's at 5, and then you're going to have a huge drop off to guys sort of making, you know, 2 and under. And there's not going to be many of those guys in the 3, 4, and 5 range, because you're simply not going to be able to afford them. So what you're going to have to hope for in that case is that your stars carry enough of the load that you can fill out the rest of your roster, basically by fantastic pro scouting and solid drafting a couple guys on entry level contracts here or there that make the whole thing go. So that's the other part of the equation. It's really hard to get these guys, so it makes sense to pay them. But at the same time, you need to do your work and your due diligence to fill out the rest of the team.
Frank, last topic I've got for you, and that's on the sale of the team, which kind of leads into trade talks and whatnot. My understanding is they're struggling, or they can't really make trades at the moment until they finalize a sale. Just basically, they don't want to take on contracts. Do you think that has any impact right now on Ottawa trying to make moves, i.e. for Nikita Zaitsev or anybody else that may be on the move?
Well, when it would come to someone like Zaitsev and unloading money, I don't think so. I certainly don't think that would get in the way. I think anyone buying the team is like, wow, you've really lightened the load for us. That's nice of you. But that's clearly going to be a difficult transaction to pull off. I would say in every time I've asked the question, whether it's to anyone in the Sens front office or around the league, the answer has always been no, it's business as usual. So I would happen to think that if it came to like signing someone like Alex DeBrincat and to a long-term deal at the numbers we're talking about, another $60+ million contract, then yes, like there probably are some guardrails in place where you'd have to run that up the flagpole to whatever potential, prospective buyers are involved. But the process, I think we were all expecting it to heat up a little bit sooner. And I think one thing being at the Board of Governors meeting last week in Florida was there's kind of this lull now in the holidays. Yes, people have gotten access, we believe, to look at the Sens books through this data portal, but it's not really expected to go much further until after the new year because everyone sort of jets out for the holidays. So I'd expect that's when we see it pick up a bit. And one other tidbit to throw in, because this question was asked, and I don't know if it was properly covered in the Ottawa market or not because I didn't see all the clips, but obviously the discussion with Ryan Reynolds potentially being involved, no matter who the prospective buyer is, the question that was asked of the deputy commissioner and the commissioner was, whoever buys the team, is Ryan Reynolds going to be foisted on you to be part of your group? I don't know why you wouldn't want him involved anyway, but the answer to that, just in case you were wondering, is no. As much as the league would like to have him involved in some way or another, it is not actually a requirement to buy the team.
Yeah, because I'm thinking if Bobby Ryan offers to buy the team for $900 million or $100 million more than the next guy and doesn't want Ryan Reynolds, they're probably going to take the $900 million.
Correct. And there's also the arena issue, which I think is a huge part of this. Like, that's really the big prerequisite, is getting that done and making sure that that's all signed, sealed, and delivered before you can actually complete the purchase of the team, because that's really what has actually made this team so valuable.
Have you heard front runners, anything of that sort?
You know, it's hard to handicap because you don't know exactly what's going on behind the scenes, but everyone that I keep talking to continues to mention the name Michael Andlauer. And I think whenever you're looking at a transaction in terms of, you know, getting a seat at the table at the Board of Governors and being really comfortable with the executive committee to approve a sale, the NHL wants to know who they're getting in bed with. And Michael Andlauer has been part of their, you know, sort of family for a while now as a minority owner of the Montreal Canadiens. Of course, he'd have to sell his share. He owns the Hamilton Bulldogs and the OHL. A wealthy, smart guy that could put together the right package of ownership group, the right consortium, if you will, to make something like this go. And clearly, having been in the fold already, someone that the NHL would be comfortable with. So if I had to guess, or if you put a gun to my head right now and said, you know, who would you put money on in order to buy this team? That would be the guy that I'd put at the very top of the list.
Frank, interesting thing about Michael Andlauer. I heard his son worked for Newport Sports and now works in the NHL offices as well. So that never hurts as well when you're, when you're figuring out, like you said, I love your term, who you're getting into bed with. You like that term, eh, Bobby? Who are you getting into bed with? I love it.
I've been quiet, minding my own business. Like, I'm not like a job.
That's true, though. I heard that rumor, Frank, though. I heard Adlauer's son works for the league.
Look, he's a really well-connected guy. I wouldn't be surprised if there's, you know, all sorts of tentacles here or there. He's well-versed in the hockey community, knows a lot of people. He was at the Board of Governors meeting last week representing the Canadiens. So someone that's clearly been around, has a passion for it, which I think is important, and has the financial backing and proper friends in the business world to make something like this happen. So there's always other parties out there that I think have been rumored to be interested going back a number of years, whether it was the Desmarais family or others. Who knows? Like, you never know who's going to step up with the biggest check at the end of the day. But sometimes it's not always about that. Sometimes, you know, you can have the process swayed by the connections that you have. And I wonder how much that's going to play a factor in this.
Absolutely. And don't forget, Bobby's still on the books for 1.8 for another year, if I'm not mistaken. So I don't know how
that's a factor. They're still trying to move me to Florida. I want to play tax-free my last year.
Damn right you do.
Frank, we appreciate your time, my friend. I don't want to keep you anymore. I know it's been a busy week for you and you got lots of stuff going on, so thank you for your time. All the best this holiday season, my friend.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great holiday, and I'll talk to you guys in 2023.
Thanks Frank.
Take care. There goes Frank Cervelli from Daily Faceoff. You can watch him daily, dailyfaceoff.com. One of the preeminent, I guess, insiders in the NHL. Always good to have him on board. Do we know much else about the sale? And I'll throw it out to Yorkie because there's so much that gets rumored about. Do we expect this to be done fairly soon?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I keep hearing because of there was a delay in getting the data room details out to all the prospective bidders. And there are a lot of people interested. That rumor is true. There's a lot of people. There's a few tire kickers here and there. But there's probably, is there 12 legitimate real groups? Probably not. But I would say there's probably 5 real serious ones. But I keep hearing Michael Andlauer as well. I love the fact that he's already an owner. He's already had a seat at the table. And we all know with Gary Bettman, you have to pass the smell test, I guess we'll call it, because you don't want to bring. Well, look what happened, the situation with Tampa back in the day, guys. They went through the process too quickly. And the last thing that the NHL wants is to get embarrassed again. You go back to the days of Bruce McNall. You look at what happened with the New York Islanders ownership group. They did a movie on that one, for God's sake. So they do their due diligence, but I still think this gets done before March, but I think it's going to get real serious probably end of January. Andlauer to me is probably the front runner.
Oh, it's exciting. I can't wait for it to all come together.
I just feel like it's going to be a summer thing. There's always a Ryan Reynolds comes to town and there seems to be this urgency that it's happening this week, and it's never the case. And especially deals of this nature and this size, they never go as quickly as planned. You could get to January and you have your final two big time ticket, people that want to buy the team, their groups, their parties. And then things take 4 weeks when they should take one, everything's just slow. And I still think it feels like a summer thing to me, but we'll see.
Yeah. There is the, and it's not a, I guess, a rumor, but there is the talk about the capital gains tax and all that stuff with the estate. So that may be, I don't know if hastening's the right term, but speeding up perhaps the final sale of getting this done. So for the 2022 taxation season. Anyway, I'm not a tax guy, so we'll move on.
And last thing, let's be honest too. Like, the team is losing money. The team's losing money right now. So the longer you own this, the more money you lose. So that's the one thing. And look at the cost of borrowing money right now. This team is heavily, heavily leveraged right now. So we all know what's going on with interest rates and the cost of borrowing. So that's why I personally think it's going to go by quicker, but we'll see. It takes a long time, as Bob said, to do a process of this magnitude, but time will tell. It's going to be exciting though. That's for sure.
Absolutely. All right, moving on to other exciting news, if you will. Tim Stützle appears to be ready to go tonight, which has only been 10 days since he's been out and 4 games. And we all saw the injury and thought perhaps much worse, but it looks like he's ready to go back in the lineup, and Derek Brassard is going to be a healthy scratch. Obviously good to see him back in the lineup, but are we shocked that it's only 4 games, Bob?
I guess not shocked. We're right at the week timeline, if I'm correct. I can't remember the exact day, but we were around that mark. I just don't get it. There's at this point, you're probably got one game left, and it feels like a must win before Christmas. So I get that part of it, but I would just hold them. I would hold them till the 28th or the 27th, whatever it is. Give that extra 6 days, give them four good skates, and then let them play. But a player of his presence is missed. And when you look at the center ice, if he's not in there, the center ice changes dramatically. So you just hope that he's healthy enough to go, and he doesn't feel rushed, because that does happen quite a bit. If Gyorky can tell you that, good to see him, but I would have held him till after the break. I just as a player, a guy that's played injured, I would have liked to have seen him take another 6 days off.
Bobby, wait until you're 52. You're my age, man. And then you'll start feeling all those times you came back a little early from injury. Well, he's a young. He's just.
I skated
just...
2 hours today.
What?
I skated 2 hours today. Yeah.
And with who? You making a comeback?
No, God, no. A bunch of local junior kids that are home for the holidays, and then I ran a mic camp, and the mic camp was harder than participating in the practice, if I'm going to be completely honest. But my low back, and then I came home and got on the Peloton, so I had myself a morning, and I'm feeling it right now. It's gonna be a long afternoon.
Okay, wait, was it a Ken Hitchcock skate or like a Sean Donovan skate? Because just being on the ice is not the same.
No, it's... I ran some of the drills for the kids with another coach, and then I played 2-on-2 for about a half hour, and I didn't know there was so much elevation in Nashville, but it felt like I was in Denver. what the hell was going on here? It was like I didn't start smoking, but it felt like I did.
So how the hands though? The hands still good?
Hey, we played to two at the end of it. I'm not gonna lie, I had both of them. It's nice to know I can still play in the queue.
Beauty.
Bobby, you said I'll say back in the summer that you thought you were gonna put the skates away and never put them on again. So now that you've skated a bit, is that little burning feeling come back that you missed it?
I think I missed being around the rink more than I did being on the ice. I'm also teaching lessons all next week, 5 days straight, one-on-one teaching. And that's what I missed, is being in. And then I worked with kids a little bit last year, as I told you guys, and seeing the lights go on for them is really, really rewarding. And now that my little guy's skating, I'm around it again. So I have missed it. We're thinking about buying a rink down here with another party. So, I think I'll be back in this coaching thing a little bit. A lot's happened the last couple of weeks in that regard, but I did miss being around the rink. It's nice to just shoot the shit with the parents, to be honest with you, and talk hockey.
Oh, it's the best. Hey, let me know if you need a D guy, because I'd love to move back to Nashville and start teaching some hockey.
Come on down.
I'm in.
Yeah, right. I'm in. Downtown Franklin, buddy. That's it.
Oh, man. I tell you what, Wally, we've all been there. Nashville is such a great spot, man. And I know exactly where Bobby's in Franklin, man. It is just such good people, and the weather's not too bad. Hey, we're getting a crazy ice storm tonight. I just went and bought 5 bags of ice, 2 shovels. It's going to turn into Armageddon here the next 2 days, eh, Wally? People are battling down the hatches right now.
Here too.
Listen, in your neck of the woods, I thought you would have somebody come by and take care of it for you.
Here? In Westboro, they're more concerned with bikes than they are cars.
Why do I even set myself up for this? Moving back to hockey, there is a conversation Elliot Friedman brought up on 32 Thoughts about potential of Seth Jones coming to Ottawa. I, for the life of me, I can't see this whatsoever. But for the dollar amount, even if they do take some of the contract, I don't. Can somebody help me out here with Seth Jones, Yorkie?
Did I just hear you sense? Right? Did you say Seth Jones coming to Ottawa?
Yeah.
So now we're going to pay like DeBrincat eight. So DeBrincat's going to get $8 million. Jones, I don't know, what's Jones make? $9 million. Let's just give everybody $8 million. Like, and then all of a sudden you're going to have to pay Pinto. Then you're going to have to pay. I did some numbers a couple weeks ago of where this cap for the Sens is eventually going to be when all their guys mature. It's going to be like $100 million if you keep going at this thing. I like Seth Jones as a player. It would be great if they could get him, but they're going to have to do a lot of, well, one thing you could do, you could trade DeBrincat and bring Seth Jones in. There you go. That's how you fit him in.
Well, I just so we're clear.
I agree to the point that you asked Frank, at how many players do you draw the line at having $7 and $8 million on the books? Because you're essentially eliminating the middle tier, like he said. And
yeah.
I tend to be in the camp that does not think the DeBrincat's back next year. I think that you have a very, very, and what he's got going for him, obviously, outside of the leverage, is the fact that he's a right-handed shot, and there's not a lot of right-handed shots that are scoring goals at his clip in the league. But you essentially, him and Drake Batherson are a lot alike. So, you know, do you build around Drake at his 5 point, whatever it is, or I can't remember exactly what it is, but he can do a lot of the same things DeBrincat can at a much cheaper option. And he's already been addressed as part of your core. I like having DeBrincat as an option, but I do think that he's gone. That's just my opinion.
He's going to get paid. Like, he's a guy that scored 40 twice. I don't think he's going to, I'll stay here for $7 million. No, he can go somewhere else and get paid because he's worth that on another team. I'm with Bobby on this. The other thing too, and do you really want to have your wingers eating up the majority of your salary cap? I'm going to give another person $8 million.
Yeah.
I'm going to give that $8 million to a center iceman or a defenseman because I've already got Claude on my right side. I've already got Brady on my left side. I've already got Drake Batherson on my right side. What, are you just going to pay all your wingers all the money? Like, as much as I love wingers, it's just, it doesn't make any sense. So I'm with you on that.
And Bath at 4.9. I mean, that's what a steal,
awesome,
right? Yeah.
He's so good. I think Drake is really good too. I know he's getting a lot of heat he's going after the green jacket right now. And last game, he had a couple of defensive miscues, but I like the fact that we talked going out to the point on that one. You're supposed to go outside, inside, Drake. Don't go up the boards. Don't go up the boards.
You cannot get smaller on the ice when that puck goes in. You're just trying to get back to that gate.
I think he's so good on the power play. Don't forget too, Batherson is a really late bloomer, guys. This guy grew, I think, 2 inches at age 18. I sat with his dad, Normie, at the game, and I think I told it to you. He was going on. He didn't get to be a great player till he was probably in the minors, I still think he's going to get better, and he's still learning the defensive side of the game. So that's my 2 cents on
it.
As I said, I think he's the second most skilled winger or second most skilled forward Ottawa has behind Tim Stützle. Bill, by the way, Dylan Hetherington in on the blue line. Eric Brännström is out. Sounds like he's nursing a minor Bobo, as Paul McLean used to call it. Is this group that's lost two in a row? I don't even want to talk playoffs in this, but are they going to snap this thing? I don't know. Why do I even bring this up? I feel like I'm setting myself up.
I have no idea who Dylan Hetherington is, but let's hope he has a good night. I have no clue. Let's hope he has a good night. But I'm in the camp that says the Sens win tonight. You didn't quite ask the question, but I think that's what you were getting at, is do they win tonight? I think they win tonight. I do. I think there's a major response. I think DJ came in, had a conversation with a couple guys, and there's going to be some responses.
By conversations,
what do you mean by that?
I think there were a number of players last game that could have had a one-on-one conversation with, right? Where you don't, the old saying, right? You praise in public, criticize in private. And I think DJ was in that camp because I had some sit-downs with him in that year. And I know a lot of other, and especially with veteran guys that are part of the core, he would do that in private. And I think he had a number of guys that he probably identified, okay, let's have a conversation. And those guys are going to be the guys that respond. I love Drake's response on the power play goal, but you know, the 5-on-5 one, I think Drake will tell you is inexcusable. There was a number of lapses. There was a bunch of guys that were -3 mm-hmm. on the night. Cannot be thrilled with his top six, 5-on-5, or anybody 5-on-5, but his top six for sure. So I think there's a response. I do. This team has had a number of good responses already this year.
Yeah, fair enough. I give up with the predictions on the Sens. All I know is when the Ducks are going to lose. I can tell you that every single time. It's tough. They got two games coming up here back to back. You would think there's going to be a response. I'm concerned about that blue line still, guys. Is Zub back in tonight, by the way? Do we know? Zub's not in, eh?
No. And the game, by the way, tomorrow, if people haven't heard, has already been canceled.
And listen.
It was.
Been canceled.
The Detroit game is canceled. Postponed to February 27th.
So I watched a bunch of those goals last game, and Ottawa's defense, I'm going to tell you right now, and now you're throwing a guy into the lineup. Bobby doesn't even know who the guy is, Hetherington. So that's another D going into the mix of a very underskilled defensive core right now against some pretty world-class players in Washington and Ovechkin, who has a lot of success. So if I'd be pushed to say who's going to win or lose, I'll take Washington in this just because of the fact I commend Zaitsev for how hard he's playing, for how hard he's working. But he's 20 minutes a night right now on that blue line, and he really struggled last game. And he's not alone. They all struggled. It's that blue line, man. They need Zub back quickly because everyone is not in the right slot right now. And that's a big reason why their 5-on-5 is so bad. Like they don't break out cleanly. There's too many rims, blown coverage because everyone's not in the right slot. So I'll say, if I was pressed, I'll say Washington's going to win this one.
I will say, I'll say two quick things. The lock of the night is Boston against Winnipeg. I'm taking Boston.
Is that the lock?
That's my lock. Wow. There's a letdown game. Well, Winnipeg just stroked Ottawa 5-1, traveled to Boston, I believe. Yeah, they're in Boston. Yep. That's a classic letdown game. And Boston's not too bad at home. So that, and then the amount of rims last game, my God, if you're a winger 6 to 7 feet off the wall and the D just gives up, it's almost a fight on sight when you get back to the bench. Cause it's like, what are you doing? Just take the extra two steps, just take the two steps, Yorkie, and you can throw it in my feet. Just don't put it on the wall. That was the only thing I asked. Put it on the wall.
Oh, boy.
I got a guy. You got somebody just pile driving down the wall coming after you. You're like, come on, man. Just, you know, I don't care if you shoot it at me. You shoot it at me. I'll take it in the stomach. Just don't put it on the wall.
The only reason I know how you wingers feel is because I had to play wing for about a month in Detroit, and I had a couple of rims, and I'm like, what am I going to do with this thing? I might as well just stick it in my ass. Like it's you're putting me in a spot where I'm going to get killed. And I can't make a play here. So, no, it's and that's the thing. As much as I like some of the D, how hard they work, they're just not capable of taking that extra step, getting your head up, maybe a fake, and then giving the center that little pass that you see so many other teams do. So I'm just looking for my lock of the week here, Wally. You know what? I'm going to take the Minnesota Wild to take down the San Jose Sharks. That's my watching Minnesota the way they played against Ottawa. That was impressive. And the Sharkies, they're thinking about Christmas turkey right now. And I can't wait for the break. Minnesota, lock it up, boys. Lock it up.
All right. Two quick things before we go. So Cale Makar the other day calls off a penalty against him and says, no, I just fell. Is there any way that either one of you would have ever done that? Bobby, I'll start with you. You're more honest.
I don't know what I just lost you guys. I just actually logged off and back in, so I don't know what the question was. I thought it was Yorkie's internet, but it must have been mine.
Yeah.
That's fine. I mean, we know things are different in Nashville. Is Cale Makar, as he calls off the penalty, would you have ever contemplated saying, no, I just fell?
No. No, I would have apologized to the guy that's going to the box saying, dude, you, that sucks, man. Sorry. Like, that's a tough, I have told players that take a penalty against me, that's a horrible call, and I tripped or something like that. But I'm not turning down a power play, but I don't know. He's pretty good. He's won a cup. He can do what he wants. that's all I got to say on it. Yeah. He's not bad. Wow.
He just locked in the Lady Bing doing that, because that's all everyone's been talking about this play, about the sportsmanship. I did hear, though, I heard him talk after. He's like, I actually felt bad because it was a 0-0 game. We could have lost a point. Maybe they could have scored on that power play, but not a chance. I am ever admitting that. I'm like Bobby. I'd go skate to the guy, especially if I knew, because I knew a lot of guys in the league. Yeah. Sorry, that was on me. But why would you do that? Like, it's... You don't do it. But hey, he's Conn Smythe, Stanley Cup, Norris. He's gonna get the Lady Bing this year now too. So watching him play.
That's what he needs. He's a guy. He needs another 200 grand. Hey, he needs another 200 grand. It's a big bonus for the Bing.
Okay, finally, on this date in NHL history, 2016, Jaromír Jágr passes Marc Messier, moves into second place all time on the scoring list. What team did he do that with? Jason York, do you know?
What team? Sorry, repeat the question again. I was...
Jaromír Jágr passed Marc Messier in 2016 on this date for the second most points all time. What team was Jaromír Jágr on at the time he did this?
Oh, boy. Geez, that's a...
Because he played for 19 by the end of his career.
Yeah, was he
Florida Panthers?
Boston Bruins.
Bobby is the winner of today's trivia question. He will be getting
All right.
He'll be getting a roll of Renfrew Pro Tape.
Nice.
Yes. Well, I need it. I'm back in the mix. I need it.
Go to renfrewpro.com and get your own. I found that shocking. I've forgotten all about him playing in Florida for a bit. And so that was the, what a nondescript place to do that in for me.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you,
man. Yeah.
Jágr doesn't get enough respect. Whenever you hear these top lists of the top guys of all time, they'll say, give me your top five. I never see Jágr get any love. And there was a period of time, especially when Mario Lemieux was going through his Hodgkins, Jágr was the best player in the league. He was unstoppable. Like, we had a play against him where, because you could slash guys back then, just slash him in the hands, keep slashing him in the hands. This guy did so much
great job. He thought he had him. Jágr spun and twisted. Finally out to Marty McSorley.
Oh boy.
He can come through.
Speaking of doing everything.
Look out, here he steals right
there. Right here on the highlight.
That you want to turn over?
Oh yeah, I made that. Okay, who snuck that in? Yorkie, are you doing? Oh boy. You want to know what I was doing?
Left handed stick for a second.
Bobby, you'll love this. That game we had played in Anaheim 3 nights before. We were on a road trip. And a bunch of us went out. We had a good time. And 3 days. So you think it's a green light. You should be able to go out. That next game, I turned the puck over. We lost. Jacques Martin, our coach, comes in and yells at me between periods. Actually boots me in the shin pads. Wake the fuck up. I knew you were out the other night. And you did this and did that. Like, hey, I didn't break curfew. I wasn't out. This was 3 days, man. Yeah, that Jágr, man, for me, probably the toughest guy to defend against that I had played against through my, 14 years in the league. I just don't think he gets enough respect.
Yeah, he was always just a horse.
Yeah.
You couldn't move him. You couldn't move him. You couldn't budge him.
Yeah, huge ass.
When you skated back to the bench, Yorkie, was there anything said to you at that point?
Just a glare. Hey, I fanned on
he
it.
Can come through the
I healed it.
Yeah,
I
was trying to go deep. This is right about now, Yorkie, when you got to pull stick upside down and check the blade all the way back. You know, try to fight the thing out. You got to be making something up, or, you get to just out of the coach's sight and stomp on that blade a little bit. That's the play.
I was actually in Jagr's draft year. We were at the same draft, although I went a lot later. I remember going down to the gym and he was doing his squats. His dad used to make him do like 100 squats a day. He's doing his squats. He's going up and down. He had the mullet down to his hair, down to his whatever shoulders. But what a beauty. You know what? He didn't even try all the time either. That was the thing about Jags. Like some games he wouldn't try. And he was still the best player on the ice. He'd float around. All of a sudden he'd get the puck and score a goal like he did against me. So, no, obviously one of the best players of all time.
I'm with you. I don't think he gets enough credit. And I think last year, was it the first year that somebody hadn't played with Jaromir Jagr?
Yeah, that depends on the Stanley Cup final. Let's pick the division or something like this. Someone wasn't one of his teammates. Like, it was a weird huge stat. Like, he transcends the game.
Stole the Mile High
Salute.
Sorry,
go ahead.
Too. Wasn't that the Denver Broncos, the Mile High Salute they do after touchdowns, Wally? And he just started doing it. He goes, you know what? I'm going to do the Mile High Salute after goals. That's where he got it from. It was a Denver Broncos touchdown. That's what it was. It was their touchdown salute.
All right. Fair enough. Before we go, by the way, this show brought to you by BEI, Bonisher Excavating Inc. I'm a little late getting them in. I apologize. Go to BonisherExcavating.com. They are up in the Ottawa Valley. They will help you with all your aggregate needs. Also, your civil engineering, if you need them for that as well. BonisherExcavating.com, BEI, helping to shape the Ottawa Valley. And again, they too want to wish everybody a safe and happy holidays, and they will see you in the new year. Boys, do you have any favorite hockey-related Christmas gifts that you remember as perhaps children?
I'm taking
Yorkie was
right
probably
now
like a...
Somebody sent me a picture. Somebody sent me a picture of the four of us on the screen and said, you're a little short in the sleeves today. I said, I didn't get to try it. You don't try a shirt like this on in the store. So
I'm on no, my good old no, no, you
Toronto,
just take it
Toronto
and go.
Buddy. Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah, this is it. But that's tough. To answer your question, like the dome hockey, like the actual arcade one year, that was my favorite. I was always playing it, and I got it was called like the Super Checks, I want to say is what it's actually called, or Bubble Checks. And I think my parents were just done with me spending so much money on it at the arcade at the rink that they said, okay, we got to get this kid one of those. And I still maintain that I'm a top five player on that game of all time. I'll put money down against anybody anytime on that one.
Fair enough.
Oh man. You know what? I got a gift from my brother, cause we had a big family, and there was five kids. My brother played for Princeton University, and my team colors, Nepean Raiders, Wally, were Nepean as black, red, and white. So my brother at Princeton, they wear orange and white and a little bit of black. So my brother snags a pair of Princeton hockey gloves from the back room before Christmas, brings them home, and that's my Christmas present, a pair of orange hockey gloves. Nice. And I wore these orange gloves for 2 years. They were like, I was only 12, maybe 11, and they were a men's, like the long cuffs up to my elbows. I was so proud of these things, man. The only guy in the PN wearing orange hockey gloves. So probably one of the presents I remember the most.
For
Princeton. Yeah. What about you, Wally? You get any hockey stuff when you were a kid?
I was a goalie, and I got my first set of goalie pads, goalie gear. They were Canadian, and they were filled. I think I'm so old there. I think they were horsehair. And I wore them around all day, but yeah, that was the best for me, was to get my own goalie gear that you didn't have to borrow from the Hockey Association. You got to wear your own. So that was a big one for me.
Stand up goalie, butterfly goalie. You yell at your defenseman. You look like kind of like an ornery goalie, kind of angry back there.
Yeah, I was a little angry. I had a Billy Smith black coho goalie stick because of Billy Smith. So he was my favorite player on the ice. Yeah, so that should probably explain everything. So actually, in fact, I bought, God, this would be like early 80s. I bought one of the old like Andy Moog masks that had like the cat eyes, just the cage, because they didn't have the molded at the time. they wouldn't let me on the ice because the hockey stick could come through the ice holes. And so there was a big debate on the ice, and I hadn't told anybody. My dad was pissed because I didn't bring the oil cage, but they let me play. It was so heavy, it just pulled my helmet down so I could barely see out anyway. I never wore that again. That was it.
Nice.
Anyway, boys, we'll be back after Christmas. Until then, stay safe out there and enjoy your Christmas with your kids, everybody.
You too, man. Okay. Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Thanks for watching, everybody. And we all wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays. We will talk to you soon. Thanks for watching, everybody.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.